Poppet by Mo Hayder. Read by Jot Davis. Chapter 1. Invisible. Monster Mother is sitting on the bed when the triangle of light under the door flickers. It moves, dancing sideways a little, then settles. She stares at it, her heart thumping. Something is out there, waiting. Silently, Monster Mother pushes herself out of bed and creeps to the furthest corner of the room, as far away from the door as she can. She presses herself back into the triangle between the walls, trembling, eyes watering with fear. From the window behind her, electric security spots cast tree shadows across the floor. They shift and bend, fingers scratching across the room, finding and touching the shadow under the door. She scans the place, the walls and the bed and the wardrobe, checks every corner, every crack in the plaster, anywhere at all that the Maud can crawl in. Monster Mother knows more about the Maud than anyone here does. She'll never tell what she knows, though. She's too scared. It's still out there, not moving a lot, but enough to make the patch of light sway. Monster Mother can hear breathing now. She wants to cry, but she can't. Carefully and silently, she pushes her shaky hand up under the red negligee and moves her fingers along the skin between her breasts, groping for the thing she needs. When she finds it, she tugs. The pain is greater than anything she can remember. It hurts more than cutting off her own arm or giving birth, something she has done several times. But she continues, pulling the zip down from sternum to pubis. There is a wet smacking sound as her stomach muscles spring free from her skin. She grips the edge of the opening and, writhing and weeping, wrenches it outwards. The skin unsticks from her ribs and her breasts and peels down over her shoulders. It tears, it bleeds, but she continues until it hangs from her hips like dripping wax. She takes a few deep breaths and rips it away from her legs. It gathers in a pool at her feet, a deflated rubber mold. Monster Mother gathers herself. She straightens, solid and brave, her stripped muscles glinting in the security lights. She turns to face the door, proud and defiant. The Maud will never find her now. Chapter 2. Brown's Brasserie. The Triangle. Bristol. The restaurant was once the university refectory, and it still has a noisy, peopled buzz to it. High ceilings and bouncy acoustics. Except now, the students aren't sitting and eating. They're wearing black aprons, slaloming round tables carrying plates, muttering to themselves orders and table numbers, working off their loans. A skinny cocktail's neon blinks above the polished concrete bar. Chords from a Gautier song drift out of the speakers latched high in the ceiling girders. The customers are mostly people who've chosen this place as a venue. It's a high enough price tab to be above drop-in scale. The only lone diners are self-conscious, some cradling Kindles over their borscht soup, some sipping wine and casually checking watches, expecting dates or friends. Out of British politeness, nobody stares at them, or even acknowledges them. Only one diner appears to have any effect on his neighbours. Nearby tables have remarked on him and adjusted their seating accordingly, as if he's a threat or an excitement. A dark-haired man in his early 40s, breaking myriad unspoken rules. Not just by his attire, a black weatherproof worn over a business suit, the tie removed, the shirt collar slightly open, but by his attitude. He's eating like someone who wants to eat for no other reason than that he is hungry, not because he wants to be seen here. He doesn't adopt an air or scan the room. He eats steadily, his gaze focused on the mid-distance.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?